We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. And while you're all turning there, I believe Brother Hall is going to come and sing for us tonight. Chapter 2, verse 4 to 7. Those of you who don't see after the service, Merry Early Christmas to you. Hope you have a good Christmas time. Hope you get safely. Folks are traveling. Get back safely. It's good to be here tonight. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 to 7. Let me turn there myself. All right. Luke 2, verse 4 to 7. It says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. Again, I thank you again for the opportunity we have to come before you tonight. Thank you for this great church, these folks in this room. Lord, I pray you bless them. God, I thank you for just the opportunity we have in this country to come to a place of church where we can have your book open freely and just be able to read from your word and get some instruction, some help in our lives, Father. I thank you for this church house. Thank you for our preacher. I pray you be with him and his family tonight. Bless them in their Christmas vacation, Lord. I pray you be with others in this room who are traveling. I think others who are already on the road, maybe at their destinations already. I pray you give us all a great Christmas, Lord. And I pray in spite of the hustle and bustle of the Christmas time, I pray we not forget the most important thing about Christmas, which is the birth of you, Jesus, coming to a manger so one day you could die on a cross for our sins. Thank you for the best gift of all. We love you and thank you tonight. All we ask in your name, amen. Tonight I'm going to preach to you tonight on what a Savior. What a Savior. I just want to start by thanking, I know he's not here, but I do thank Pastor Angel for letting me preach. It's an honor to be here, definitely. And as a preacher, I always love preaching in behind this pulpit. Very intimidating thing, for sure, but I love doing it. So I'm thankful to him. But Luke 2, verse 4 to 7. Folks, we all know we worship an amazing Savior. We all know that we have we worship a Savior, Jesus Christ, who's amazing. If I could have everyone stand up in this room and give testimonies of things that have happened in your life, I'm sure all of you could give some amazing testimonies of what God has done and how Jesus Christ has done some amazing things in your life. The most important is saving your soul. I know when I was 21, I was saved. What an amazing thing that was happened to me. I know every single person can give a testimony of what an amazing Savior we worship. But I'm not going to be too long, belabor the point. I'm going to jump right into it this evening. As we revisit one of the best stories ever told, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I have two simple points for you tonight to think about, maybe to help you tonight as we think and reflect on the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Number one, everything about Jesus, especially his birth, speaks of humility. Everything of Jesus, especially his birth, speaks of humility. Look in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, if you would. Luke 2, verse 7. And it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, you got to understand, we all know this, folks. I know you all understand where I'm coming from here, but Mary gave birth to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is there's no king greater than him. There's no Lord greater than him. He is the one and only, is Jesus Christ our Savior. But he was born in a stable. He was born in a place where the normal comforts of home aren't there. He was born in a place where the smells were not pleasant in that stable. He was born in a place where it was not comfortable to be in. He was born in a place that, in spite of the tradition of being probably springtime, it still was probably very cold and drafty in that place. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords was born in a stable, a very humble place. Mary, his mother there, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. That word swaddling refers to straps of clothing, not rags necessarily, but straps of clothing. He didn't have I always think of when my kids were born, a nice little orange and blue hat they put on the head, like a little lollipop. And he didn't have one of those hats to put on his head to keep him warm. He didn't have one of those nice clothes to keep him warm. He didn't have soft lotion to put around his warm body. He just had swaddling clothes, straps of clothing to put around his body. And that's what he had. And again, this is what the King of Kings and Lord of Lords had in his birth when he was born into this world. What a very humbling illustration. He was laid in a feeding trough. It probably was just hay in a wooden box. He didn't have a nice crib to lay in, a nice soft mattress. He didn't have that. He just was probably a wooden box with hay in it. A very humbling and maybe an uncomfortable situation for him. This is where our Savior was born. This is where the one that saved our souls was born. This is where he came, and he came to be born for us. Oh, what a Savior. But let me make a statement here about Jesus Christ and his humility, or this humbling illustration situation we see here. Without having to say a word, Jesus resonated a theme, I believe, a thought, or an understanding that from time he was born up until now and going on till centuries forward and for all eternity, everyone knows to be true about Jesus. This one thing, I believe, was resonated from his birth in this stable. It's this, that everyone can come to Jesus. He is approachable. He is approachable. Charles Spurgeon said it like this. I'm just going to read what Charles Spurgeon said. He said it best when he said, "Even as an infant, by being laid in a manger, he was set forth as a sinner's friend. Come to him, ye that are weary and heavy laden. Come to him, ye that are broken in spirit, ye who are bowed down in soul. Come to him, ye that despise yourselves and are despised of others. Come to him, publican and harlot. Come to him, thief and drunkard. In the manger, where there he lies, unguarded from your touch and unshielded from your gaze. Bow the knee and kiss the Son of God. Accept him as your Savior, for he puts himself into that manger that you may approach him. The throne of Solomon might awe you, but the manger of the Son of David must invite you." Folks, listen, he didn't have a ring on his finger. He didn't have his purple robe. He didn't have to be on a waiting list to come to him. He didn't have to be the elite people to come to Jesus Christ. Anybody could come to Jesus at any time. What a humbling experience, and what a time it was to come before Jesus Christ and to come to him. And today the same thing is true. Anybody can come to Jesus. He doesn't care. Hey, folks, he doesn't care where you came from. He doesn't care your background. He doesn't care how much money is in your bank. Anybody can come to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We were on the way out Friday. Brother Payne and I were leaving the jail after preaching that Friday there. And coming home and just kind of praising the Lord that we're saved. And praise the Lord, we didn't have to stay there overnight. That was a tremendous blessing for sure. But we were excited about leaving, you know, and had a good time with the guys there. It was a true blessing. Saw Jesus Garcia there. That was a blessing. Lord willing, he'll be January 11th will be, I believe, his sentencing date. So pray for Jesus, if you would. But we were leaving the church. Leaving the jail. Heading to the church. Leaving the jail. Not the same thing, for sure. Hope you don't think that. But leaving the jail, headed out of there. And Brother Payne and I were just talking as we walked down the hallway. It was one of those hallways where every door looks the same. We always get lost in the same jail every time we get in there. No idea where we're going. Just every door looks the same. So we're leaving that jail. He said to me, he said, Brother, there's so many people in this church that have such amazing testimonies. And he mentioned himself. So, man, I hope I'm not embarrassing him here today, but he said, if I wasn't saved tonight, I'd be dead. I'd probably be dead tonight until Jesus Christ saved my soul and turned my life around. And there are so many people, folks, there's so many people in this room that have a testimony. You'd be somewhere else tonight if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. You could be dead. You could be an alcoholic. You could be a drug addict. You could be a life of regret. But somehow along the road, you got, as Brother Pastor Gomez said, you had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ, and you got saved, and your whole life turned around. Listen, He is approachable. You can come to Him. One thing I love, if I can say this, about our preacher, Pastor Angel, is he is an approachable person. I remember when I was down at Heritage Baptist Church in Connecticut. That's where I made the most changes on the outside, if you will. The Lord changed me the most on the outside there in Connecticut for those 2 years I was there. But one thing I loved about Pastor Bish when I was there in Connecticut was that he loved me where I was at. He was approachable. He didn't put judgments on me. He just preached the word. He preached the truth, but he still loved us. And when I came here, praise the Lord, now I'm working for a great, great, awesome preacher, Pastor Angel. Praise the Lord. We have an awesome preacher here in this church. One thing I love about him, he loves you where you're at. He is approachable. You can come to him if you want. And I see here at this church, folks, when visitors come, we always hear, visitors always leave with almost the same exact expression. I was greeted so warmly. It was a great folks I could talk to. People were so kind. Why? Because the majority of people in this room, you are approachable. Visitors can come, you shake their hand, you give them a smile. Hey, it's an approachable people. Jesus Christ was an approachable. He is approachable. You can approach Him, and praise the Lord if we're approachable. But if I can make it a little more personal to you tonight, folks, or put the ball in our court, my court included, if I can say, hey, parent, Sunday school teacher, manager at work, leader of a ministry, anyone who deals with people, are you approachable? Are you approachable? The reason why Jesus Christ is so approachable at that stable because it's an attitude of humility. There was no pomp. There was no big kingly robe, if you will, kingly crown. He is approachable. He was approachable, and people could come to Him at any time. And let me ask you a question: are we approachable? I think of myself as a parent and parents in this room. Are we approachable? Hey, are we all caught up in this Christmas time where we're supposed to be out our family? Are we so caught up in our agenda, getting things for ourselves and us and me and my, we forget about spending time with our children? Or we are so caught up in our own lives, our own thing, we forget about one of the most important things in our lives, that's our own family. Our own family. Are we approachable? And the best way to be approachable is having an attitude of humility. An attitude of humility. I tell you what, folks, every single person in this room, we all suffer from the sin of pride. We all do. We all suffer from pride because we're all prideful people. It's in every single person in this room. We can't escape it. We can't get rid of it. We'll have pride until we die. But I believe having an attitude of humility makes a person approachable. It made coming to that manger approachable. And the book of Genesis, when Joseph was number two there in the land under Pharaoh, that was during that time of that 7 years of famine. Joseph met his brothers again and finally met his dad. It was a real blessing, a time of a reunion, if you will. And Joseph asked Pharaoh, can I bring my family back to Goshen? That was the place near Egypt, because they were shepherds. But Joseph knew. He said, I knew I couldn't bring my family into Egypt because my family were shepherds. And shepherds were treated as an abomination in the eyes of the Egyptians. Folks, Egypt is a type of the world. And our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the great shepherd. And let me kind of tell you this, folks. We knew that the world doesn't look at the people who are down and out with the same eyes that a Christian should look at people. We should have an attitude of humility, being approachable and say, man, you can come to me anytime. I want to be a blessing to you, be a help to you. Because Jesus Christ, our Savior, is approachable. And we can approach Him at any time. Listen, Egypt, the type of the world may it eat you up and spit you out. In some circles, they would do stuff like that. But I praise the Lord for a church like this that has an attitude of, you can approach me, an approachable, friendly spirit. But can I ask you, are we approachable? Are we approachable in our personal lives? Are we approachable at work? Are we approachable when we deal with other people? Are we approachable? let me ask another question if I could while I'm on this theme here. Do you love people where you're at? I just mentioned a Pastor Angel. He loves people where you're at. Think of a Pastor Mitch, loving people where they're at. I know of a, you hear of it, if a parent has two children, the first child grows up to be a super genius. You know, they all memorize Psalm 119 in the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin, every other language you can think of. And they all get straight A's and they always do speedy reader like nothing else. And, you know, that whole thing, Rob's on speedy reader with our children right now. But they do speedy reader and everything. They're flying through. And child number one's just a brainiac. He's like the poster child for, you know, the A-plus student of the year type of thing. Then child number two comes along. You're thinking, man, he's going to be just as good as child number one. But something doesn't happen like that. The speedy reader isn't going so speedy anymore. To put on the brakes, right? You know, they're not really, they're tripping over their own feet. You know, they say their words backwards. They're dyslexic I am, you know. Anyway, listen, and a parent looks at child number two and says, why can't you be like child number one? Why can't you be as good as this child? Why can't you be just like them? Hey, listen, folks, if we're not careful, we get caught up in that attitude. We need to learn to love people where they're at. Boss, is the expectation of those under you too high because they don't work like you do? Or we understand our employees do the best job they can and we love them where they're at. Parents, are our expectations too high for our children? Or do we love them where they're at? Do we love people where they're at? Well, Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, Jesus Christ says, come unto me, whoever you are. I don't care who you are, just come unto me. You know, one thing I love about the Christmas season is that sense of brotherly love. Just little people are a lot less edgy, if you will. If people were in a bad mood before Christmas, the bad mood is maybe just a not really bad mood, you know, just an okay mood, I guess. But people are a lot more friendly during Christmas, it seems like. And I love the Christmas time. I love everything about Christmas. And things are a little more tender, if you will, during Christmas time. But with that whole season, that whole thought in mind, listen, folks, during Christmas time and around the whole year, do we love people where they're at? When someone walks in the church and a visitor comes in, they don't look necessarily dressed like us. They don't look like us. Man, do we love them where they're at? Do we love the folks where they're at? And we need to have that Jesus Christ, he loved folks where they're at. Just come unto me. Whoever you are, come to me. The shepherds, I mentioned about them. Listen, they came to Jesus Christ and worshipped at him when he was born. He didn't care who it was that came to him. He didn't care what their background was. The Egypt looked at them as being an abomination, but Jesus had come unto me. They came unto their Savior. They worshipped their Savior when he was born in that manger. Praise the Lord. He loved them where they were at. And in keeping with this theme of humility, if I could, here, all through the Bible, it's amazing. God uses simple people to do some amazing things. I think of Moses. The Bible says he was slow of speech. That God used him to take millions of his Jewish folks out of Egypt and eventually get them exiled and escape from that prison of Egypt. David, the smallest of his brothers, a shepherd boy, God used him to arguably be the best king of Israel. God's chosen people, arguably the best king of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. I think of Josiah, only 8 years old. 8 years old when he became king. Yet God used a boy who had obviously no age or no experience to use as a strong suit in his life. Yet God used that little boy who eventually became a man to do a great work in that country, to bring people back to worship of God when he found the Bible, found the scriptures, and when he repaired the temple. He brought people back to God. And God chose Bethlehem. He chose Bethlehem, which Micah 5:2 says about this town, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. He chose little Bethlehem to be the spot where the King of Kings would be born. Look at folks, Jesus Christ, the whole thing is a picture of humility. Humility is not something that is by nature something a human being possesses automatically in them. People might have graced, if I use that word, with more humility than others. But by nature, humility is not something we just automatically carry. Humility has to be something that's trained, that's asked for, that's constantly wanting to get and inquire. Humility has to be something that we need to attain to. And Jesus Christ was all about humility. It was a picture of through his whole birth there in that manger. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "And God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Listen, folks, God chose, He chose those folks, those leaders, if you will, to become the ones to do some great things for Him. Those folks who were humble people, who the world didn't look on as being some giants. And God chose a little place like Bethlehem for the King of Kings to be born and to do a great work for Him on earth while His time there on earth. These people were humble as the world saw them, and it would not do us good to make daily efforts to keep an humble. It would do us good to make daily efforts to keep a humble attitude. It would help us out. James 4:6 says, "But God giveth more grace. Wherefore He said, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble." Folks, I tell you what, tonight, what scares me more than anything, because being that we all, if you think about it, we all have this sin of pride in our lives. And God said in James 4:6, He resists the proud. I think of that pushing them away, pushing a proud person away. And if God resists the proud, He pushes someone away. Man, I don't want pride in my life. I don't want to be proud. I think the more full of pride I get, the more it's about me, me, me. You know what I'm doing? I'm pushing myself more and more away from God. That should scare us. That should alarm us. That should be something every day we should be going like David said in Psalm 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." What David was saying is, God, every day search me. Tell me what's going on. Where am I doing wrong? What can I fix? And being pride is one thing that pushes us away from God. The way I look at it, it should be the type of thing where almost daily we should be saying, "God, where am I at in this thing of humility? Where am I at in this thing of pride? Because I don't want to be pushed away from you. I don't want to be pushed away where I'm so... I don't want where I am Wednesday over here and Thursday being over here where God's way over there. I don't want day after day me going farther and farther away from God because of my pride." Folks, pride is a disease, spiritually speaking, which can keep us farther and farther away from Him. And since the time Jesus Christ was born, it was all about humility. Others, if you will. Anyone can come to me. Loves you where you're at and just come unto Him. Anybody can come. We need to keep that number one in our lives. Keep that up top, if you will, in our personal ideas of being keeping ourselves humble, an attitude of humility. And I think one of the reasons why Christmas is so special, and one of the reasons why people, if you will, are a little more caring, is I think there's a little bit more humility in the air. Why? You hear more Christmas songs. And what's the center of the majority of the Christmas songs? Jesus. You won't hear, I love Silent Night, a good song I love. I'll hear that in Macy's on Christmas time, but the other 11 months of the year, I won't hear any Christian songs going on in Macy's. It seems like, for some reason, though, that 1 month a year, Christian songs, which we coin as Christmas songs, are played in places they normally wouldn't play Christian or Christmas songs. The more you hear about Jesus, it hasn't... Listen, just at the name of Jesus Christ, things happen. Things happen, folks. And we have an attitude of humility, and I believe we see a little bit more of that at Christmas time. A little more sweeter spirit in folks. So that was number one, having an attitude... everything about Jesus was an attitude of humility. Number two, the last point, I'll be done tonight. Jesus Christ went on the front lines for us. Jesus Christ went on the front lines for us. Turn to John 3:16. Most of you probably know that by heart. Jesus Christ, He went on the front lines for us. John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen, Brother Caleb, when he was praying, he hit the nail on the head. He said there would be no cross without a manger. He came, the whole reason Jesus Christ came to manger wasn't so we could have a Christmas story, even though I love telling that story. It wasn't so we could have use it as a time to have a celebration, have family and friends over. Although I love having family and friends over, but the only reason Jesus Christ came to earth, the only reason He was born in the manger, the only reason He came to a stable was that so 33 and a half years later. When he would go to a cross and die on the cross so we could have eternal life. Folks, listen, I'm sure every single person in this room does this. I'm sure we're speaking to the choir. But on December 25th, when you have some time in the midst of the family, in the midst of the Christmas present, get some time away, put that aside for a few minutes, and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for being born in a manger." Why? Because if He wasn't born in a manger, He wouldn't go to a cross. If he didn't go to the cross, we'd all be on our way to hell. I mean, that's the truth. We'd all be on our way to hell, and there'd be no way of getting to heaven if he wasn't on a cross, which meant he had to be born, come to this earth. And now, if I could switch gears for a second, just bear with me, if you would. Can I say tonight, this Christmas time, there are others who are on the front lines for us. Now, I'm not speaking spiritually here. I'm kind of speaking, I guess I can use that word, normal terms, if you will. I'm referring to the soldier. See, on Christmas Day, a lot of us are going to open our presents. We're going to be around family. We're going to have may have friends come over. We're going to have a lot of food, usually tons of food. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a lot of presents open. We're going to see, if you have children, you're going to watch, or your grandchildren, you're going to watch the glow on their face when they open up the present and see that brand new toy or that brand new doll they wanted. You're going to have that joy of being with husband and wife or children and being around a fire, around a Christmas tree and hearing the wonderful music. But somewhere out there, there's someone who is standing out there around our country or around this world. They're not with their family on Christmas Day. They won't be able to see the joy of their baby girl opening that present. They won't be able to see the joy of a son open a present. They won't be able to be around that Christmas tree or hear that music necessarily because they've put their life on the line to protect us. And I thank God for the soldier. We need to thank God. And every time we see a soldier, we need to thank their hand because on Christmas Day, and I praise the Lord for the time we have with our family. It's an exciting time. But I also thank him for the soldier who puts his life on the line for us. And on Christmas Day, he might be in the cold. She might be in the rain. But their eyes will be open, their gun will be hoisted over their shoulder, and they'll be standing guard, making sure our freedom is protected. And I thank God for the soldier who puts her life on the line. Last night, my wife and I and our family got the pleasure of going to a wedding. Went up to the wedding where Pastor Bish, his daughter Sarah, married Pastor Meister's son, Dylan Meister. And I didn't understand at first why the Tuesday wedding. Usually you don't hear about Tuesday weddings too much until I heard all the background story about it. See, Dylan Meister, he's enrolled in the military. He's going to the Army, and he got married yesterday, Tuesday, and tomorrow, Thursday, him and his new bride will be shipping out to Germany, where they'll be stationed there until April. Then in April, Dylan has to go over to Afghanistan for a year, and he'll be up in northern Afghanistan, where all the firefighting is going on. I asked him what he'll be doing up there. He said, well, I'm one of the guys with the Taliban, those ones who are setting those road bombs. My goal is to seek out and destroy those Taliban. I was like, good, seek out and destroy as many as you can, buddy. But I said, that's his goal. Now, he's in a situation where he might not come back to his brand new bride. But I'm thankful for the soldier. I'm thankful for those that put their life on the lines for us. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And praise the Lord for those folks who are all on the line physically. And I also praise the Lord for those folks who put their lives on the line on the front line spiritually. Thank you for those who go out soul winning, who go out faithfully and tell someone about Jesus Christ. Because while the soldiers are out there physically protecting our physical well-being, hey, there's people out there trying to protect people's spiritual well-being. Saying, listen, I understand we want to live a good life here. I understand want to be protected, and I thank God for the soldier. But listen, folks, we need folks going out there telling people, listen, there's a real hell, and there's a real place you're going to burn if you don't get saved, and that's Jesus Christ in your heart. And that thing that happened in the manger, it's real. That Jesus Christ, he was real. It ain't just a story you heard. And he did die on the cross 33 and a half years later. And I thank God for those folks that go on the front line spiritually, giving up their time, being inconvenienced, going out in the cold sometimes, being uncomfortable, maybe getting a door slammed on their face, but one day having someone finally said, you know what? I am a sinner. I do deserve to go to hell. Tell me more about this Jesus. Okay, I sure would love to. And then one day you see someone bow their head and ask Jesus Christ in their heart as their personal Savior. And praise God for those people who go on the front line spiritually every day, giving their time up to be a blessing and help and seeing souls get saved. I love if I had a time, I'd have people raise their hands who were a product, if you will, use that word, of a door-to-door salvation, seeing souls who got saved because someone knocked on their door. What a sweet testimony that is today. And now they're in church because of it, because someone cared enough to go on the front lines and tell them about Jesus Christ. And just like the soldier was on the front lines, just like the soul winner is on the front lines, our Savior Jesus Christ is on the front lines. He's on the front lines for us. What I mean by that is, if you would, I'm almost done here, turn to Isaiah 53, verse 6, if you would. Kind of wrap it up here. Our Savior went on the front lines for us. Isaiah 53, verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look, I see those verses there, and I just tell you, say about us, we're sinners, our iniquity, because of our iniquity, folks, we're sinners, and what we deserve is a place called hell. And we knew because of our hell, we can't get to heaven on our own. There's only half a way for us to get to heaven, but we can't pay our own way to heaven because of our sin. But Jesus Christ, when he came, when he was born in the manger, he was born in the manger so one day he'd go to that cross. So one day he'd be able to put the iniquity of all sin, and for the first time in his human life when he was on that cross, know what it's like to feel the weight of sin. For 6 hours he bore that sin, our sin, on that cross, until he said enough's enough, until he gave up the ghost, if you will, until he died, and 3 days later, praise the Lord, he rose from the dead. But because of his sin, because of our sin, we have no place of heaven. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for him. Listen, folks, he came to earth. He came to an earth that would give him no place to lay his head. He came to a people who would mock him, who would spit on him, who would beat him, who cursed him, who humiliated him. But he came to us to go on the front line for us because no one else could do it. Only Jesus Christ could do it. And let me, while you're in Isaiah 53, I have to get there myself. Look at verses 7 to 10. I'll get there right now here. Isaiah 53, verse 7 to 10. Wrap this thought here. It says, He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Listen, folks, the reason why the iniquity of him was put on all of us was because for us. Because there's no way we can get to heaven, and we needed a Savior. And listen, folks, I said it once, but I'll say it again. Don't let Christmas time go by until you thank God. Thank Jesus for coming to be born in the manger. And thanking him for suffering what he suffered through for us. Because like I said, he was on the front lines. He's the only one that could do it. No one else could pay for their sins. None of us pay for our sins because of our sin. He was the only one who could pay for our sins because he had no sin. And in closing, let me just quote a verse from one of my favorite hymns. It goes like this: "As Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior!" Folks, we have a great Savior, and I love Christmas time. Christmas is a lot of fun; I enjoy it. But Christmas time is a special time for a Christian. It really is. It's a good time for everyone to open gifts, but it's a special time for our Christian to remember our Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He was born and would die for us, for you and for me, and for this whole world. He became a picture of humility for us and went to the front lines for us. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bow your heads for prayer if you would. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. I thank you again for this day, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to be able to preach your word, Father. Thank you for being a great Savior. Thank you for coming to the manger and being a picture of humility. Thank you, Jesus, for being on the front lines for us, going to the cross for us when no one else could. Father, thank you for how good you are to us. Love you and thank you. Now, the heads bowed and eyes closed, if I can ask you. I know the majority of this is home folks in this room. But can I ask you, there's one person in this room, says, "Brother Jason, if I die today, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I know about the Christmas story. We're going to celebrate Christmas in a few days here, but I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Okay. All right. Christmas time is a time, a picture of humility by Jesus Christ. It's a picture of him going the front lines for us. I tell you what, folks, I think all of us in the room, myself included, I'll speak just for myself when I say I know I need a lot more humility. But the Lord's spoken to your heart about needing some more humility, just loving people where they're at, come as you are. Or we're willing to go on the front line spiritually and seeing souls saved and being a help and a blessing. The Lord spoke to your heart. As we're going to hear the music play in a second. Would you come? Would you come? Can I ask you all to stand if you would? As the music plays, why don't you come?